Unit 38, that's a 2-1, the TAP 36. Copy, it's 1-4, show us on route, ETA 2 minutes.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Running Code, the podcast where you, the listener, get to know a little bit more about us, the men and women of the Newport News, Virginia Police Department. Bonjour. How are you today, Melissa?
Bonjour. That's a new
we're going
one.
Around. We're going French.
I'm good, Captain. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you. Got a guest today, one of my favorite people.
I feel like we say that a lot, but I actually mean it this time.
Yeah. One of my favorite people for sure.
Yes. You want to introduce yourself? Tell everybody who you are?
Well, guten tag, since we're going in different languages here
right.
today.
Okay,
traveling Europe. Go ahead.
Well, hello, and thank you for having me here, first of all, to both of you. I'm glad to be here with some podcast celebrities.
Yes. Busting chops already, Melissa.
I'm going to hit your apparel store on the way out today.
All right. So. Sell some merch.
Yeah, that's right.
Tell the people who you are.
So my name is Michael Goss. I currently serve as a sergeant in the Community Youth and Outreach Division. Specifically, I'm the supervisor for the high school resource officer team, which means I have 8 officers that I supervise spread out across different locations in the city. And we're part of the larger school resource officer team. There's also 6 middle school SROs, but we all really work together as part of one big unit. And I've been with the Newport News Police Department for 16 and a half years. I want credit for that half.
Absolutely.
The half is important.
Yeah. It's important. It goes a long way.
And I've been in the Community Youth Outreach Division since December of 2019, minus a little break during COVID when schools were shut down.
Right. And we've all three worked together. And what we call CYOD, the Community Youth and Outreach Division.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. You're the last one standing, Goss.
Yeah, I believe I took your place. You were the last high school sergeant before me.
Listen, I had it when I was the only sergeant in the unit there for a little
while. No, you're
correct.
You're absolutely correct.
I did. I was the only one I was the only SRO sergeant. I think
correct.
I still had a community sergeant, but you did. You came in and kept right on moving, didn't you?
Well, I hope I've done an okay job.
I'm sure you have.
Where are you from, Mike, originally?
So I grew up in Pennsylvania, South Central Pennsylvania. Much different environment than here in Newport News. Not quite as urban, a little bit more rural. You can probably tell how I say rural that I'm not from here. I also don't pronounce T's well. I say button and mountain, you know?
Okay.
But I grew up in Pennsylvania. I went to college there as well. I spent 2 years at Harrisburg Area Community College. Did my associate's degree in criminal justice. And then I transferred to Shippensburg University for my second 2 years and finished with my bachelor's in criminal justice.
All right. And so you finished up you said Shippensburg?
Shippensburg.
I was just
University.
Recently in Chambersburg.
Very good. Very close.
15 miles or so?
Yes, sir.
Wow. Small world. Okay. So did you come to the world of law enforcement directly from the finishing up your university?
Yeah. So this was my own thing. I didn't have anyone in my family that was involved in law enforcement. I don't have some great, moment or life interaction that led me here. It was really kind of during the high school years that it just hit me that this is something I really wanted to do. And I kind of drove towards that, and it's worked out pretty good, I think. Literally living the dream that I kind of wanted to do, in high school. So I went into college for criminal justice because this was my plan. I kind of did the math that, most police departments, you have to be 21 to be a sworn officer. So I graduated college when I was 21. And I started here 6 days after the ceremony when I was 21 and been here since then.
Wow. So you're super familiar with Pennsylvania. You've grown up there. You live there. You go to college and you end up in Virginia.
How'd you wind up down here?
Yeah. So again, I didn't have any family connections here. I did take one trip down here when I was, I believe, 18 to Virginia Beach. There was no oceans up there. So that was my only time driving through here. I didn't want to work, nothing wrong with where anyone wants to do law enforcement. But for me, I wanted to work in a larger, department than some of the smaller areas that I worked in and, just see a little bit more of the world is something I wanted to do. So I applied for a few different places down here and Newport News's process was great. They contacted me first. So this is where I ended up first. I know it's even more expedited now, but they made it really easy for me. My background investigator in particular, MPO Black, he was a really good guy.
Yeah, Robin Black.
Yes.
Good guy for sure.
I only had to come down here 2 times. The first time did a lot of the testing, the physical stuff and the written testing. The second time I had a chief's interview and was offered the job when I walked downstairs from the chief's interview.
Wow. And you started in patrol like everyone else.
Yes, sir.
And where have you been since joining?
Yeah, so I've worked all three precincts at some point. The first many years of my career, I said I started in 2008 and graduated the academy that year. So I was at North Precinct from 2008 up until 2017. On evening shift most of the time, I really enjoyed the people we were working with. I enjoyed the pace of it, the high call volume, learned so much. Had a lot of great mentors, influences on me at that time. Did a year on day shift at North Precinct. And then I went to South Precinct, spent a few months on evening shift. And when I was promoted, I was sent back to North Precinct. I was there as a sergeant on watch three, on watch two. I went to the Community Youth Outreach Division the first time. Then when schools were shut down, you always find the positive in everything.
Sure.
So I was sent to Central Precinct. We were all kind of spread out on wherever the needs were on the department. So I got to do evening shift and day shift in Central Precinct, which I really enjoyed the experience because I hadn't worked there before. Got to meet a lot of new officers or new parts of the city. And then I've been back in the Community Youth Outreach Division since then, since March of 2021.
Yeah, and you play an incredibly, well, you and your team play an incredibly important role as the first line of defense, really, for these children that are attending these schools. Can you talk a little bit about how big the Community and Youth Outreach Division team as it relates to school resource officers and where they're positioned?
Absolutely. So the officers that we have spread out, I said 14 officers total, the middle school and the high schools. The most important thing that we all do is certainly safety and security for students, for staff, for the visitors in the building. That's the most important thing we do. But what we really do the most of is the engagement with kids, with the youth. And there's so much impact in that. This has been the most meaningful position, I think, that I've been in on the police department. It's not about how many arrests you make. It's not about summonses or anything. If we have to do law enforcement action, you know, we certainly do sometimes. But the most important thing we do is the engagement with the kids. Some of those relationships you get to do. Some students have never had a positive interaction with the police officer, or they've heard that negative things about us. And so if we can be a positive influence on them, that is just so meaningful. It feels so good. And you know, some officers that maybe haven't had as much time interacting with the youth, you know, they'll say, well, I like to be on the road and I like to drive my car fast and all that. And then they come into a lunchroom and high-five some kids and you see the smile come on and you realize that I think everyone really enjoys it. It can mean a lot to you.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the arrests and the summonses are an important part of what we do, right? Because they're, you know, we have to ensure that we maintain law and order. I mean, that's important. But the side that you just explained is critical in gaining trust of the community. It has to start with those kids. And I know, Melissa, you were on the ground floor along with a previous sergeant who worked on our young adult police commissioner program. And then, Mike, you picked it up where Melissa left off. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. I've been really glad to be a part of that.
Yeah. Melissa, can you tell us a little bit kind of how that came to fruition? And Mike, can you pick it up from where she leaves off?
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry. Those kids are just, they're so special.
They're the greatest.
Yeah, they really are. They're just so special to me.
Wonderful people.
It was a program started by Chief Drew. Chief bought it with him from Richmond. And it was designed to bring them inside and give them a look kind of like this show, what it is that we do as law enforcement officers. We thought by starting that we were going to be teaching them something.
Yeah.
And clearly, kind of turned tables on us. And we wound up learning so much from the students. I've watched you and just the interactions and stuff. It's so heartwarming. I don't know how... are you able to kind of draw that line between them being, you know, it being work? Because I always had a hard time with that. You know,
I enjoyed it so much. I did.
I wound up hanging with kids on the weekend. Like, I know there's a line somewhere, but I don't know. Do you experience any of that?
Oh, yes. And there's, you know, we talk about some hard topics because that's important too.
Right.
Things about that the police department does about life topics, giving them some advice. I mean, we talk about some hard things, but there's some really fun weeks too. Some of the weeks where I find myself, you know, at a local trampoline park, jumping on a trampoline and think, well, I'm getting paid for this.
Yeah, right.
And there's some pizza over there. I'm gonna go eat too.
Right.
But yeah, the interactions with them, I mean, that's something I look forward to every single week. and it's a long break we have in the summertime where we don't get to do it, I honestly miss doing it.
Right.
How often do you meet with them?
So we meet every Wednesday. There's put the whole program a little together here. There's students from every high school, including some of our alternative schools like Achievable Dream in the program. And so we meet every week. During the school year, we transport them in the police cars. They kind of get that experience, usually at one of our police facilities. We meet with them, and it's different every week. But the engagements with them, you know, that's just one of the more meaningful things we did. And I'll say, you know, on Father's Day this year, when I got a couple messages from the kids, you know, happy Father's Day messages. Yeah, that's
gets you in the feels, doesn't
it? That's what it's all about.
Right. Wow.
But I will say, when I left, there were 26, 27. It's supposed to be freshman, sophomore, sure, junior, senior from each one of the high schools. So that usually put us somewhere around 6 times 4 being like 24, right?
Yep.
How many kids do you, I heard that you guys have an ungodly number. How many kids did you guys wind up with this year?
The more you can reach, the better, right?
Sure.
So we might be in, you know, the mid-40s, mid to upper 40s now.
Oh, gosh.
Which, you know, logistically, there's a few more things to figure out on a weekly basis.
You're like, where are you going to get a bus?
Yeah.
To transport them?
There's only so many seatbelts in the car. That's right.
Right.
But, you know, the idea is if you have kids that want to come interact with the police department, we don't want to turn that down.
Right.
Every single student that, you know, we interact with, that's a difference. You can make an impact with them. And so to be able to turn that down, you know, we don't want to do that. Now, there has to be a limit. I think the fire marshals might have a problem if we put 2,000 kids, you know, in our community room. But it's been great just to
have
more kids in the program.
Now, peripherally, you are also one of our Honor Guard members.
Yes, sir, I am.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about that. What exactly it is about? How does it work?
Yeah, that I know I said being in the community youth hour service has been the most meaningful thing I've done. I think Honor Guard's pretty close to that. You know, we do some hard things. The Honor Guard is really the main, most important thing that we do is to honor the fallen, whether it be on our department. We do some other events. In May, we go to Washington, D.C. for National Police Week, where we honor all the officers in the country that have fallen in the past year. That's the most important thing we do. Those are really hard days. We'll travel around the Commonwealth of Virginia, too. We even went to North Carolina last year. When an officer from another department, we go just to honor them as well. So that's hard. We do retiree funerals as well. And then some of the, I want to say funner, but the not quite as serious events we do is being a color guard, where we have our graduation ceremonies, promotion ceremonies, different city events. We'll do joint color guards with fire department and sheriff's department. So that's really good. But being able to represent the department in that positive way, being able to represent and honor people, you know, that served on this department, that's really meaningful. And just glad I had the opportunity to do that. There's a lot of dedicated people on that team because, you know, there's some hard days on the Honor Guard at services. It's not fun going to a funeral, but it's really important.
It is. And that is not a position where people are, it's not a full-time position. Literally, members of our department volunteer for that at the sacrifice of their own emotional well-being, because, you know, you travel all over the Commonwealth, and, you know, that takes a toll on you when you go to all these funerals and you hear about these officers and how they were killed in the line of duty or passed away from a variety of different ailments. It's tough on you. It's got to be really tough on you. Having said that, how do you decompress? How do you stay Mike Goss? How do you stay the guy with the dad joke sense of humor? How do you stay that way?
So for me, on a personal level, faith is really important. I'm a church goer every week. And I think through that, and you have the right foundation, you can deal with all the things that come at you, you know, in life. So that's really important to me in my personal life. So I like to run, not any sort of marathon runner. Don't get the wrong idea here.
Right.
But I mean, since middle school, on a weekly basis, I'll go out and run 3 or 4 miles a few times a week. And that's really all I need. I don't have a desire to go 30 miles out there.
Right.
But just doing something consistent to kind of decompress and stay in shape a little bit is good. Clearly not a lot of Olympic weightlifting or anything, but I like the cardio.
Right, right. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe you met your lovely wife while working here.
I did. Lovely is a great description of her.
Yes.
She's great. Yes.
She's a wonderful lady.
We did. She was one of our dispatchers, and we met through there and hit it off right away. And, that was 9 years ago now. And we have had two kids, and it's just been a great experience. I'm very fortunate for the family that I have. And you said about decompressing. It may not seem like kids are a great way to decompress, but certainly for me, you know, when you have kids, that just becomes your main focus because, you know, you're legally responsible for them.
Sure.
But you want to be responsible for them. You want to interact with them constantly. Right. And it's been so great.
Yeah, children are a gift, no doubt. And we all three are blessed in that way, aren't we? Yeah.
Yes.
So, Matt, how are we doing on time over there, pal?
We're doing well. We're doing very well.
Good.
You know, Sergeant Goss mentioned dad jokes. You know, I'm always here for a good dad joke. So,
yeah. So Matt,
to,
I don't know.
Need to hear a little more about that.
The way you're faced, Matt, I don't know if you can see his shirt. I'll read it off for you. It says, "I keep all my dad jokes in a database."
I like that one.
I'm such a nerd. I love them. As a matter of fact, I went to the CYOD dinner for YAPC last year, and I caught his stand-up comedian routine. I mean, it was, I literally was in stitches. Now, clearly it doesn't take a lot to make me laugh these days, but you did an amazing job at that dinner, just kind of bringing it all full circle around what you guys had done and accomplished over a year. It was really good. Like, the dad jokes were flowing.
I wish I saw that.
Well, I appreciate that. I think you're giving me a little too much credit saying, you know, a stand-up routine, but
It was a whole routine. He had a whole routine worked out. It was great.
Yeah. Wow. Speaking of comedy routines, you have your Steelers shirt on today.
Oh, here we go.
Here we go. Well, what fan are you?
Well, being from Pennsylvania, I'm from the, there's nothing wrong with any part of Pennsylvania, but I am from the correct side of Pennsylvania.
Here we go.
Which is the eastern side. There's a city over there called Philadelphia. They have a couple sports teams over there.
Oh, do they have?
Yes. Yeah.
We're just gonna let you have that one today.
Yeah. For the time being, Melissa?
For the time being.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Everybody, keep this in mind. That's it. That's all I'll say.
So what are you thinking about for the future here in the department? What interests does Mike Goss have in future leadership positions or positions within the agency?
Yeah. So for me, when I came here, I said I always wanted to be a police officer. I never came in with a specific plan. I wanted to do just work as hard as I could, put everything I did into every position I had, kind of see what I liked, see what I was good at. And leadership was something I gravitated towards pretty quickly, being a field training officer, teaching younger officers at the academy, and current officers at the academy, and then eventually that became sergeant for me. So I'd like to continue on in leadership. Lieutenant is the next step for me. That's my aspiration.
Very good. And you, speaking of teaching, you are one of the instructors that is most focused on our mental health as an agency, as an individual, correct? And you teach a component of mental health. Can you talk a little bit about that and the importance of it?
So I'm one of our crisis intervention team, or CIT instructors. That's something that yes, has been very meaningful to me to be a part of. I went through the original class in 2012, and I've been instructing with that program since 2014. We do that regionally through the Community Services Board, one of the agencies in Virginia that deal with some mental health services. And then Chief Drew wanted to bring CIT into our police academy to try to impact more officers, get the information out more because of the value that it holds. So we started doing it in our dispatch academy and our basic law enforcement academy for officers for the last few years. I've been a part of that to help start that up. Which logistically was a lot. It's a 40-hour class with outside people coming in, and you need props, and there's site visits. You go off-site, and there's a lot of different components. I think it's important for us to be mindful of our own mental health, and being able to help other people in the community is really important. Try to take away some of the stigma from it. Recognizing people with mental health disorders, they don't want it. They're not trying for it. It's not their fault. So bring a little bit of compassion and trying to get them resources pointed in the right direction. Yeah.
And it really helps us, the officers, identify. There are certain behaviors that help us identify a potential crisis that is occurring, mental health crisis that is occurring in front of us, on the part of a citizen that we can intervene in different ways that we did in the past, where we can give them the assistance they need and get them in the right direction. We have CARES teams that are available, fire department-based teams that help with that. So there's a lot of different resources that we can bring to the table to help folks out.
Yes, that's correct. And breaking some of the revolving door, you know, with it. By that, I mean, if you have someone who maybe they are going through a crisis, which leads them to maybe they're trespassing somewhere, maybe they have nowhere else to go, and then we arrest them, and then they come back, and then they're there the next day, and then we arrest them again, and it's a revolving door. And the police are doing the right thing for the situation. I'm not saying otherwise. But if we can get them help to deal with some of the underlying issues and get them pointed in the right direction better to help that person, that's what we're all about.
I think we all win, right? It's a win for all of us. So, Matt, are we getting close to rapid fire?
Yeah, I think we can head that direction if you guys want.
All right. What do you think? And Mike, you ready, sir?
I'm ready.
All right. Melissa, would you like to go first?
I guess. Still stuck in Pittsburgh.
Do you want to go over the score?
Melissa,
did you?
All right.
All right. So the first one we have, pool, lake, or beach?
They're all good. I have no problems with any of that. But I would pick the beach. Again, not growing up here, I didn't go to the beach that many times growing up. You know, it was a few times over the years. So that's still very exciting to me to go to the ocean.
Melissa?
Same.
Really? Pool for me. If I can't see the bottom, I don't want to get in it. That's just me. Call me paranoid, whatever. All right. Question number two. Least favorite subject in school?
Math. No question. So this isn't a brag. This is just an example since you brought this up. In college, I had an A in every one of my criminal justice classes.
No. Okay.
However, there was a statistics class that you had to take, and that was not an A. We'll just leave it there. Yeah, it was not an A.
It wasn't pretty? Okay.
I graduated.
Okay. You graduated.
Yeah. That part.
That matters.
Yes,
okay.
Sir.
All right. Question number three, Mills.
What is one food you could eat for a week straight?
Ice cream. I'm sorry for all the children and young people watching. It's not me being the great example, but...
Right.
It's wonderful, every kind of ice cream.
Melissa, what do you think?
Listen, I'm on a pho kick right now. Or excuse me, pho.
Pho? Oh,
pho.
Okay.
I'm on pho right now.
Are you really?
My son is so over it.
Really?
He's just going to have to deal. Stuck on pho right now.
Really? I could eat rotisserie chicken every single day, 7 days a week. Yeah. All right, question number four. If you could visit one foreign country, which one would it be?
I think Australia.
Oh, interesting.
It's so far away. Kangaroos just sound really cool, you know?
Until they square up and want to box with you, right?
Yes. That's
right.
Well, I don't know how fast they can run, but I'm going to test out my skills.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. It sounds interesting.
All right, last one. If you could have dinner with three famous people from history, past or present, who would they be? Three.
Three.
Wow. Rapid fire.
You're putting me some thought on here. Well, this one seems like a layup, but the true answer is Jesus.
Oh,
okay.
I think that would be a pretty interesting person to speak with.
Very important. Okay. Mm-hmm.
That'd be number one. I would pick Abraham Lincoln for number two.
Okay.
Just for what the country was going through and what he was going through, I think that would be a very interesting person to speak to. And if we're going to go current, I would say Roger Federer, who is a tennis great.
Yes.
I never was into tennis that much. And then I started watching Roger Federer play tennis. And, you know, he seems like a really genuine, nice guy. And he got me into a whole new sport. So.
Wow. So you took it up.
If you mean take it up, I mean, I can hit the ball over the net.
Okay.
I'm not clocking the serve or anything.
Is it close to pickleball? Pickleball close to it? I know y'all just did the pickleball thing in CYOD.
There's a lot of similarities, but tennis is much more running. It's a bit of a larger court.
Yeah. And speaking of running, before we close out the podcast, do you remember when we used to have the running contest up in North Precinct?
I do.
See who could run the Nolan Trail the fastest? You were always at the top, weren't you?
Well, Detective Nottingard was pretty strong as well.
Oh, that's right. Yes. He sure was. I was between you and he.
Well, and there were some other people, but yes. And that generally was an example of leadership that you taught me for just being involved with your people and trying to get the cohesiveness and get the team to do some fun stuff. So yeah, you gave us the challenges, and I enjoyed going out there on the Nolan Trail. But Nightingar, if he went
he
out
strong.
There, when I won yeah. something, I think it was usually because he might have not been available that week or something.
To run, you mean? Yeah. By default, basically? Yes. You're a very humble person.
I still have a vest that you gave me for winning there, a traffic-looking vest,
yeah.
but
you,
to
you
light
still
up
have
for safety.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
I still have that.
Well, it's a pleasure having you. I know Melissa and I are both fans of yours. When I say you're one of my favorite people, you truly are. You are just a genuine, kind man who knows what his work is. You take leading seriously. You're tip top, Mike. Always been a fan of yours.
Well, I really appreciate you saying that. I'm glad to be here too. Jokes aside, you know, you both have been a supervisors for me in different ways, so I've appreciated learning from you and having you around. And since we're giving out advice real quick, you brought up the shirt. The other day, families are really important too, you know.
Of course.
And so my daughter said that she wanted me to put a bow in her hair for school. And so I said, sure. So I went and filled up a bucket with water and I poured it on her head. It was a rainbow.
All right. We're going to end with a dad joke. Melissa.
That was embarrassing.
Okay. It's all right. Melissa, we're on a couple platforms, aren't we?
As long as that's on the platform.
I mean, he had me drinking from that cup. I was sucked in on that. I was like, really? Why did he pour a cup?
As soon as he said bucket, I knew we were headed for it. I knew it was coming. YouTube, right. Spotify, Apple, and Google, we're everywhere. If you're watching us on YouTube, make sure you like us at the bottom. Come back and see us again.
Thanks for joining us. Cheers, everyone.